Brenna Breslin, and welcome to Yana LV. Today, I am joined by Gianna and Tiana Tupassant, and I'm going to be asking them about their life of being twins and also attending an extremely hard school like Harvard. Hi, guys. How are you?
I'm doing well. And how are you?
I am good. I'm in my college dorm, as you can see. And yeah, I'm sad I can't be back in Pennsylvania, but you know, I'm happy Zoom exists for that.
Yes.
My first question for you guys is, how has growing up as a twin shaped your individual identity? And has that ever created like a mental strain or confusion for either of you?
I would say that I think growing up as a twin, we, as cliche as it sounds, like you have a built-in best friend. So you're not forced to kind of, I guess, cling to other people socially, as I think a lot of times happens when, you know, children or as you're like growing up, you really want to just be liked, you want to be popular, whatever, you want to be an XYZ friend group. So I think it's given us that opportunity in terms of being able to kind of make really meaningful relationships with our friends. I would say, like, of course, when you're doing a lot of the same things, like we chose to play all the same sports, take all the same classes in high school, there is a level of competition to it, but I think it's very,
there's a healthy level of competition, yeah. And it helps foster like our growth and learning, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely. I don't think the level of competition ever got to a point that it was like maladaptive. So
no, because at the end of the day, it's like we are supporting each other towards each of our individual goals, and sometimes they are joint goals, but we do know when they aren't joint goals and when we have different like standards for what we want to do, and just, you know, being a support system. So yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I think that's great. You guys are like each other's like personal motivators. It's amazing.
Exactly. Yeah.
Do you ever feel pressure to live up to each other's achievements or expectations, and how do you manage that?
I think we definitely at times maybe feel pressure to measure up to each other's achievements, just because I know, like, if she did really well at something, then I can probably work harder to do better at it as well. But I think we also have spheres where we're just, it's our individual kind of niche thing that we like to do.
Mm-hmm.
And there's really no, like, comparison there. Like, Tiana plays an instrument and I do dance. And we just have different things that we like to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's great. I feel like I have two. So I don't know if you guys know this, but I actually have two younger siblings that are twins. And honestly, I feel like they haven't had like the same maturity as you guys. So right now I'm witnessing like them being extremely competitive with each other. And I don't know if it's because I have a little brother, Uli, and a little sister, Camilla. And so I don't know, maybe it's because it's their boy girl, or maybe I don't know, like, what do you guys think about like growing up? How did that affect you?
I think it's really hard for parents to not compare their children, especially when they're in the same grade taking the same classes.
Yeah.
And I'm not gonna say like there was ever an example where it's like, oh, Gianna filled an exam and I got 100, and I'm not saying that drastic,
but it would be like, oh, our mom would be like, well, if she knew how to do it, why didn't you know how to do it?
Yeah.
Or why didn't you help your sister so she could do it
exactly
as well?
Yeah. And I think we, for some reason, we just were unified over that, because there's always going to be a point where one person is better than the other at something.
Yeah.
So we were kind of like, oh, well, if they're going to kind of look at what we're doing and scale it, you know, we can just always be on each other's side about
yeah.
it. So we kind of had our own little system against our parents, but not in a like a conniving way, just in a like a supportive way. And I think we've also been friends with other sets of twins, or new other sets of twins. And I can say this is not the case for everyone, even with girl twins. I think for me, from other perspectives that I've heard, that girl-boy twins tend to get along better because they're not engaging in the same social spheres.
Or they're not, like, directly compared.
Yeah.
Like, their looks or, like,
so that's
their
interesting to hear, I would say.
Yeah.
But I think it depends on, like, some people, like, we're very competitive people. But we also are reasonable people. So
I think we're always competitive, but we're competitive towards our shared goal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, especially playing team sports together. Like, we both play club basketball even now together still.
Yeah.
So, like, we're rarely pinned against each other in terms of competition.
Or it's like we do it intentionally to make it more fun.
That's so sweet. That's amazing. Have you guys, like, ever struggled with being compared to one another by, like, teachers? Even though I know you said, like, your families, like, sometimes, like, oh, if she can do this, why can't you do that? But, like, maybe by teachers or, like, friends, maybe? Like, has there been an instance where anything, like, positive or negative, where they said, like, did some kind of comparison? And, like, how did that affect your, like, self-esteem?
I think definitely in terms of the friends, I think it takes like a while to, I guess, differentiate us and know our individual personalities. And I think sometimes growing up, people didn't want to see like our own individual selves and identities. But I think now more as we grow older and we're become more different kind of in a sense, people like can key in more on those differences. But I definitely think there were times growing up where like, it was always like Gianna and Tiana. There was no Gianna and there was no Tiana. It was just like a grouping of together thinking
yeah.
we were the same.
And I think that says a lot about how we can kind of differentiate our really close friends. Like our really close friends don't have any problems telling us apart. They know that
yeah,
this type of personality or whatever, that's immediately a Gianna type reaction or something like that. Or, you know, Tiana would never react that way about this or like, you know, different things. So I feel like that tends to happen less now where our friends are like actually comparing us. But I do think there is a tendency to group like a decision that we make. Like if I'm like, oh, this is how I feel about this, someone will automatically assume that you kind of feel the same way about it. I think that happens a lot. But normally we are in agreement, so it's not super problematic.
I think our teachers don't compare us, at
not
least
really.
To my knowledge, but I'm sure that when they're grading papers and exams, they probably wonder what's going on neurologically.
There. Some people do like seeing if we get the same stuff wrong.
We often do get the
Which
same things
true.
Wrong because we often study together. I don't know if
yeah.
there's really a genetic underpinning to that. I think it's more like if you study the same things, then
you know,
you're going to get the same
yeah.
thing wrong.
Tendency.
Yeah. I always wondered how that works. Like, I know I saw on TikTok and it's like, oh, if one twin, like with the door, like they separate, like they get separated by door, raise your hand. And then like on the other side, they'll see that they raise the same hand. And then I always see videos like that. And was like, oh, well, might as well ask like an actual, like actually like twins, like how do they, is that true? Or is that just like a TikTok? Like, I know you said there's no.
I wouldn't say like twin telepathy, but I would
yeah.
say because we spend so much time together and I think we come to think like very similarly, we can kind of predict each other's actions or like
yeah.
what we're going to say. Well,
exactly.
We don't need to use like full sentences most of the time.
So how does sharing the Harvard experience, again, I don't know if I said this, but Gianna and Tiana, I know you guys both go to Harvard. So how does sharing the Harvard experience impact your mental health? Does having each other there act as more, I feel like you guys kind of touched on this, but acting as more support or pressure? Has there been like a specific instance where you guys want to share where there was pressure and support, I would say, at Harvard?
Yeah, I would say that I think because this is a very rigorous and competitive environment, especially both of us being pre-med, there is a tendency for many pre-med students to think that everything's a competition and kind of like only one person's going to win this race when in reality that's not how it works. But I think because we both want the best for each other long term and we both kind of know what our end goals are, that we are able to kind of support each other regardless of the stress. And I think, you know, we don't have to question what each other's intentions are when I'm like, you know, helping her with homework or something.
Yeah.
Like, whereas
yeah.
if you're working with a peer in a class, you might not know them that well. So like, we always know what we have each other to then like go back to and kind of confer about an assignment or something like that.
Yeah, I think the shared experience is also huge. It's really hard to explain to someone outside of Harvard, like even our family members, what it's like going here and like how intense it can be at times. So I think like I always wanted to go to college with my sister, and I completely still stand by that now. I think
I'm glad.
It's so nice to have someone who knows exactly what's happening, and
yeah.
you just don't need to try to explain every single.
Because we can just look at each other and be like, you know,
yeah.
like
yeah,
look at each other and like, yeah, this is kind of
we're
a
on
stressful
the same
situation
page.
Right now, but like we're gonna get through this.
Exactly.
So it's nice, and sometimes like just not having to verbally communicate everything, like we can just have that shared energy about something.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And like if you see our text threads, you'd be like, well, do they even talk to each other? No, we basically just send each other pictures or reels through our phone, but then we only ever verbally communicate in person,
yeah,
or just like communicate in the moment. So that's interesting.
Have either of you experienced like burnout or academic stress differently from the other? And if so, how'd you guys like support each other through that?
I think we both kind of have different approaches to things. And we also have different, I feel like, experiences when we're taking standardized tests or like just tests here in general. I tend to have more anxiety during tests, so I really have to like try to prepare in terms of like staying calm, being ready to go into the exam, not freaking out, being like calm so that I can actually perform. Which I think Tiana tends to just, she's at a lower heart rate, everything at all times, so she doesn't get as like stressed out, I feel like, during exams.
I think I focus very much on like being heavily prepared as like kind of like my like defense mechanism in terms of not getting super stressed for an exam. Not to say I don't experience stress, but I really am able to compartmentalize, I think, a lot of like the tasks that I have to do in a given day. Or like, you know, even like just taking an exam and being like, you know what, I don't know this question, I'll immediately move on. Whereas I think you
I can get more hung up on things.
Get more hung up on it. And I think we've helped each other because there's certain instances where I'm like being too structured, and then Gianna's like, girl, like chill out, it's fine,
yeah.
Like we're gonna do this. And then there's sometimes where I'm like, Gianna, like why don't you try to review this now for the exam, or just telling her like, you know, just take a deep breath and like remember everything that you've already prepared, because at the end of the day, preparation is all you can do. So I feel like coming to a point of acceptance is definitely like before an exam or something stressful has reduced. You know, I also tend to get into a state once I start the exam or start the presentation where I like reach a zen. But then initially I'm like, but then I will
get
there
the
and I get into the flow. And then I'm realizing like, yes, this is where the preparation then kicks in.
And I think like in regards to your question about burnout, I think burnout's like rampant at Harvard. I think we both have become, as we matured here,
100%.
More structured over boundaries. Boundaries are huge for us. Like, sometimes we'll have, like, a no-work weekend that we're just like, okay, if we're going to go out of the state or go home or whatever, like, we're not doing laptops open at all. Like, that might be the rule we need to set for that weekend, because the week was so exhausting. If we're like, okay, like, you know, we worked hard all week long, we can like go out on Friday, have a good time, and we're not setting an alarm to wake up on Saturday. I think it's just like trying to regulate kind of your emotions and how you're feeling about things, because I think once you reach a place of burnout, it's really hard to like come back from that during the academic term. So just always trying to prevent getting to that point and really recharging over the longer like winter breaks.
Yeah, and I would say we have a very, like, work hard, play hard mentality where it's, like, okay, like, if we're studying, like, we are studying. We are not in a study group talking about studying or getting sidetracked with friends. Like, we are very much people who shut their door and go and study. And, like, I get that works for some people, but I feel like sometimes when there isn't any real boundary where it's, like, my study friends and my real friends are kind of conflated, so when we're studying, we're kind of studying, but we're kind of talking. I personally believe that leads to more burnout, because it's like, now I'm doing this like all the time. It's like this extended period of everything. Whereas if I just say like, this is the time we're doing this, this is the time we're going to have fun, then I, at least that's what I feel like works well for us. But I know that's not some other people's view. So,
yeah. I mean, I'm a first year at the University of Virginia, and I recently had my first econ exam, and that has already burnt me out. So I think that is so amazing that you guys like have, even though like you guys think very similarly, like there are differences that I feel like connect you guys and like make you guys even stronger to prevent like burnout situations like this. And like, really, like, it sounds like you guys really have like, well, high school, I feel like you guys like have, you know, working academically together, it like changes as you go into college, you know what I mean? Like it shifts like that. The course load changes, professors, environments, it all changes. And I feel like you guys have really adjusted yourself well to the environment, and especially such a competitive environment, which I think is so amazing because I'm still adjusting right now.
It's a lot of figuring out what worked and sometimes spending way too long on assignments because you think it needs to be perfect.
It doesn't need to be perfect.
And now you realize, what do you need to do to hit your goal? I'm not saying do the bare minimum, but I'm saying do what needs to be
done.
Do
the assignment, but also know when to submit the assignment and set the boundary like, okay, I'm going to bed now. Or I'm not doing this on a Friday night. Like, I'm just not. That's not happening.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like that should be so much more normalized instead of like, you know, because obviously I feel like college is competitive. No matter where you go, it's how you set yourself up, you know, like you could take the hardest courses or you could take easier courses, like more lenient ones. So I feel like it's so important to like really instill that it's okay to take breaks and you don't just need to be working. Because I mean, high school, I would just work. And then I realized that was such a bad, it was just not healthy. Like, it wasn't healthy for my body. It wasn't healthy for my mind. And then honestly, here, I feel like I've been pretty good with balancing. Like, again, like, I feel like I also use that like work hard, play hard mentality. Like, I have that same idea where it's like, okay, let me do this assignment by this time and I'll do my next assignment tomorrow since I have like one extra day to do that. You know what I mean? Like, it's good. Like, get your sleep. Like, I always make sure to go to bed like 10 o'clock every night. Like, that is
like, wow.
Yeah.
Maybe I should be taking advice from you.
That's awesome.
Yeah. You know, so, well, I'm also not the pre-med track. I also do know pre-med's extremely difficult, but I'm so proud of you guys. But yeah. So, I mean, it's honestly because first of all, it's only October of my first year. So I'm sure I'll be having to stay up till like 2 a.m. some nights. So don't worry, I will. I'll get my time.
Best that you never have to see that time unless you want to.
Yeah. So have you guys ever had to encourage each other to seek outside like mental health support?
I would say, I think it really depends on, I would say, the person for whether they need to seek outside resources. I would say in our case, because we really have a close support system, we've always really relied on each other and trying to talk through things with each other. And I do think, like, of course, there are lots of mental health professionals that do amazing work and are really able to connect with people, especially people who are extremely lonely and don't have someone who they can talk to. Like, sometimes your family member isn't the right person. Like, I wouldn't go and have the same conversation with my mom that I'd have with my sister, for example. So having someone, and also if my sister, if she didn't go here and I was having like very Harvard specific problems, or, you know,
it would be hard for me to tell her,
and it would be hard for her to support me in that. So I think my answer would change a little bit, but because we are, you know, experiencing a lot of the same things, it's, you know, this is probably the most accurate person when it comes to like
trying to give me advice.
Yeah. And of course we have other close friends who give alternative advice as well. So I think that's been definitely just how we've went about kind of handling like stress and anxiety and stuff like that. We are also very family oriented. So I talk to my mom very frequently, our mom, and get guidance from her, and kind of just like, sometimes you just need a little reset.
Yeah.
And trying to focus on, I would say, you know, why are you doing the things that you're doing? Is this long-term stress towards something? Is it towards your ego? Mm-hmm. Is it towards your career?
Yeah.
Is it towards, you know, and, you know, pressing another friend, a boyfriend, boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever it is, why are you doing this? And I think that helps me get through those stressful times because I feel like, especially like being on pre-med track, there's always something to be done. There's always a meeting, an assignment, whatever it is. And I think what I really try to think about is like, how am I gonna help people in the future? How am I gonna like pay this forward? And is this gonna make me fulfilled? And I think that's what helps me overcome those moments where I think that's kind of like a crisis averted moment where I do like a gratitude check. Whereas if I was checking in at that point and I was like, wow, I really don't know what I'm working towards, that would be a very hard situation to overcome.
Yeah, I agree. I think you touched on a lot of great points. I think the loneliness piece that a lot of people here, I think, experience because there's so many people who are just workaholics and they work, 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 and they don't spend enough time meeting other people or, forming social connections. And I think those people really tend to struggle. And I was like, even in the dining hall today, and I was like getting a drink, and then I was walking out, and I was like, oh my gosh, I feel like I'm the only one who's struggling. Like everyone else seems like it's so easy. And then their friend was like, oh, absolutely not. So like having someone
Who's
like
gonna be
who's gonna
real?
be real and like say like, oh no, like we're actually all struggling, we're all trying to do our
And
best,
this
all
is
of that.
regardless of the institution that you go to. You are experiencing a lot of the classes and a lot of the struggles, like with assignments. You are experiencing that for the first time. Nothing was gonna prepare you for
Exactly.
that,
And it's
or
the same thing with the social aspect of college. It's like you come in as a freshman, you don't really know anybody. And that was a big adjustment. People I thought who were going to be my lifelong besties freshman year, and we don't talk to each other anymore. There's just different things that evolve and happen throughout. Yeah. And I think something else that has really helped always like staying in a positive headspace was over the last 2 years, we have this like jar in our room. It's like a really big jar. It's about this thick. And every day, either when I wake up or before I go to sleep, whatever, anytime during the day, I have little sticky notes and I write something good that happened during the day. And then I put the date on it and I put it in there. And it's like very full now. And I find that at first it was kind of hard in some days to like write one thing and put it in the jar. But as I keep doing it, I find that every day I have like three or four things that I write down on the sticky note and then I put it in the jar. And I'm like, it trains your brain to like look for
Look
more
for
positive
positive
things.
things. Yeah.
And
And
yeah.
it's a lot of who's in your social sphere in the terms of, in the sense that, like, if someone's always saying they're tired 24/7, we are all tired.
Yes.
We are all
Sleep
burnt out
deprived.
sometimes and all of those things. But if you're around those people who are constantly feeding that type of input to you, I've noticed this just even like working in different groups on an assignment or something like that. I feel differently when I pull up tired to the class and I'm around people who are like, yeah, let's go, we got this,
Yeah.
versus people who are like, oh my gosh, I only got 3 hours. And maybe that's the truth. And maybe that's, but it's like you don't have to wear it externally every single day. And there, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that I don't have days where I say I'm tired and guys, like that happens. But if that's your whole personality, I think that really starts to influence,
Yeah, that reminds me of
people.
something I had heard the other day, which was like, oh, if you're not changing it, you're choosing it. And that really hit for me because I was just thinking about how there's some aspects of like maybe my routine or something that I'm trying to change. And like maybe I've been trying to change that for a long time and I haven't really hit to like getting that new, positive habit in my routine. And I'm like, oh wow, like I do this other negative thing that I don't really like. And I want to stop doing that. But like if I don't actively try to change it, I am choosing to do that on a daily basis. Whether that's like I wake up and I'm like, oh, I'm so tired or I'm annoyed, or maybe I'm like saying annoying a rude comment to someone else because I'm like annoyed in the morning. Like maybe I don't want to do that anymore, but I should start actively trying to change it.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's honestly, I think that's so true. Like who you surround yourself with plays such like a pivotal role in your life and your even your day-to-day life. I mean, it affects you. Like, I mean, if you're around someone negative 24/7, it's just gonna like wear, like, yeah, I guess like how you guys said, like it's just gonna wear off on you. And I feel like once you change who you're around, I feel like that, yeah, it makes your day-to-day life feel so much more confident, so much more better. And I feel like it just makes you overall like a more motivated person. And
Absolutely.
yeah, I totally agree with the fact that it's like everyone's tired here. Everyone has some sort of family situation. It's whether or not you're going to use it to motivate you or whether or not, okay, yeah, we all have our tough days. Totally normal, totally healthy.
Exactly.
I think, yeah, if it's a daily occurrence where it's like you're surrounding yourself by people like that, then I feel like either ask that person for how, like, if they're doing okay. I feel like that is so necessary. Like, if they're not usually like that, and then all of a sudden for like a week straight, you know what I mean, they're like this, then check in on them, make sure they're doing well. I would say, like, yeah, then if not, if that's not the case, then change the people you're around. I feel like that makes such a huge difference. Like in high school, that's what I did. I honestly changed the people I was around. And I mean, I've honestly been so much happier. Like, I would hang out with them every day in the summer, and it made me such a happier person. And I wasn't feeling like judged or anything. Like, I just felt like completely myself, which I felt, yeah, like so safe and so secure. And honestly, it made me like, we would like congratulate each other. Like one of my best friends, she actually goes to Brown, like, and she got into like the PLME program. And, you know, I was so proud of her. I was like, it was like a genuine, like, I am so proud of her. Like, she works so hard. She deserves it. And I feel like that's the people you're around. It's like, yeah, like we both would share, like make jokes about how we were tired. But then if it's like those same people are also motivating you, you know, most days, then I feel like, you know, you have friends that you should be so grateful to be around. Thank you, everyone, for joining us for today's episode. And thank you, Gianna and Tiana, for talking about your guys' shared experiences about going to Harvard, being twins, and really how that has affected your mental health and how to move forward. I'm Brenna Breslin, and thank you so much for joining me.